Podcast with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. Episode 25, first episode of 2017. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yay. 2017.
Woo-hoo. Oh, my goodness.
We are 3 days into the year so far, and I can't complain, I guess.
Yeah, so far so good.
How many things have you dated with 16 instead of 17?
Nothing, except stuff that I had to backdate.
Yeah, I almost my rent check was almost 16. Oh, I caught myself though.
That's really funny.
My rent check needs to be sent and written.
Ooh. Yep.
Oh, good times. I've been good so far, but I've only been back at work for a day. So
true.
Yeah. How you guys been? It's been a month since we recorded? 3 weeks? Almost?
Forever. Too long.
Almost a month, yeah.
Oh my God.
It's really been like 2 weeks, but it feels a lot longer. A lot happens in those last 2 weeks of December. It's like a lot of life.
We recorded
on the 6th.
Yeah, or the 8th.
Okay, fine.
Yeah,
so it was
release date.
It's been great.
Release date was the 9th, but we recorded the 6th.
No. Right. The release date was the 16th or the 15th. We did three in 1 week. We just spread them out. Right. We're such nerds. Hi. Anyway, we're back.
Semantics.
It's people arguing about technicalities and dates, which don't matter so at all.
Right. And here I thought I knew for once because I was in the Google Docs.
Yeah. Hey, at least this is better than our argument before the show started over if Times New Roman is a good font or not.
It's not.
I love Times New Roman. I literally have everything.
It's the worst.
What font do you use?
Arial.
I like Arial.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, Arial is for people that want to write term papers and want to get the extra space in because they have to get it to be like three pages and Arial is thicker font letters.
No. For the record, it doesn't really add that much, but it makes it much easier to read.
Yeah.
And just much more overall, like, I can breathe.
You guys are crazy. Like,
I'm also a big fan of Helvetica and Gotham. That's good font.
Gotham.
I'm really on the fence.
I like Gotham. Helvetica's probably my favorite, though. I like Helvetica.
Word on here,
it's structured, but it still has some fun in it.
Fuck is Gotham? See, I don't mess around with these whatever wussy fonts. Times New Roman all the way. But seriously, what is Gotham? I need to see what this is.
It might not be like a straight up. I think it might be like a purchased font.
Oh, okay.
But I like it. I also like Courier.
Oh, there's Helvetica.
Yeah, Helvetica.
See, Courier, again, it's for people that, you know, if your teacher says you can't use it on a term paper because it makes it longer, like it adds to it.
No. Oh, no. This is 2017. Like you, actually, when I assign papers, I ask for it to be in Calibri or Arial or similar.
I don't mind Calibri. I feel like, Calibri is nice. I'm looking at it now. I've got my Microsoft Word open. Yeah, I think that is...
It's about legibility, though, also.
Yeah. Okay, what about Arial just aesthetic, Narrow?
Aesthetically pleasing. I love it.
Yes.
Arial Narrow has that is my favorite of the Arials.
Guys, we came back, and we came back old.
Yep.
I have
something young and hip and cool.
Times New Roman for life. So go ahead.
Lame. So have you heard of this 1 second every day app?
No.
I think you may have told us about it.
Oh, yes, you did.
I finally downloaded it, and you guys were going to be my 1 second today.
Oh, my God. I'm
get
so
ready.
Touched. Oh, no,
get
but
ready.
I don't have makeup on, and my hair is not done.
Jeez. It's okay. Ready? And we're going to 1 second.
Yay! Awesome.
That's it.
All right.
Nice. So is this something you started in 2017?
Yes. I started it on New Year's at like 12:03.
1 second.
Excellent. Yeah. What did you guys do for New Year's? I had an awesome New Year's.
Ooh, do tell.
I think yours was probably the most exciting, so you might want to go first.
Jay and I decided that we're going to try to make 2017 like a year that we do like more fun things, like more traveling and like more like kind of like living and kind of stuff like that. So our first order of business was to, we drove to New York for Christmas, which, I mean, we always drive to New York. That's like, you know, given. But that was fun because we hung out with Colkey and Rob. And we met Mike Bloom in the city. I'd met Mike before. Ha ha ha. Name drop. But
I know. I'm
no big deal.
No big deal.
Another name drop. We went to the Google offices in Chelsea in the city and ate lunch there, and it was super cool.
Yeah, they have a cafeteria. It's supposed to be super good.
Yeah, it was super good. And it's just the whole building is just awesome. Every floor is a different theme. It's really, really cool. And then we decided, because we always do the tree, because I love the tree. I don't care how touristy it is or whatever. I grew up on Long Island, and I went to see the tree every year, and I love seeing that freaking tree. So we were going to go do that, and then we realized it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So to kill some time before this started to get darker, we decided to walk from Chelsea all the way down to the World Trade Center. To which
it's
I kept,
walk.
Yeah, it's a good walk. I kept telling Jay, I was like, it's like 2 miles. It's not, you know, it's kind of far. And he was like, it's going to be fine. We'll walk, you know, we walked down Greenwich, the cobblestone streets and everything. And finally, at one point, I was like, so I'm just going to pull up on the map here just to see what Waze tells us, like walking distance. And I was like, so we still have another 40 minutes to go. And he was like, but we've been walking for like a half an hour. And I was like, I told you, it's not close. So we made all the
just
way down
for
there.
Perspective.
Yeah. I was like, we're here and we still have to go all the way down to here. But anyway, so we did that. And I have to say, it was kind of appalling. People were like selfie sticks, like taking pictures of themselves, like smiling over the like the memorial, like falls or whatever they are. And yeah. It was just seemed very, like, I don't know, kind of tasteless. Like, I can understand taking an artsy picture, like, to memorialize it. But when you've got your selfie stick and you're like, geez, I'm by the World Trade Center. I'm like, people died where you're standing. Like, it was just really odd.
It's super weird.
It was really weird.
I have, like, strong, like, irky, icky feelings about that kind of stuff.
It was weird. We wanted to do the observation deck, but by the time we walked down there, we were like, I can't stand and wait in line. We're old now. So we you know, just looked at it and whatever. And then we took the subway back. And then when it got time to transfer, because we parked in Astoria and took the subway down.
Nice.
We didn't know what time we were coming back. And I hate being tied to the Long Island Railroad.
Yeah.
And like their timetable. So sometimes if there's not a clear cut, like, we're coming and going at this time, we'll drive into like Queens or someplace and just take the subway in. And that's because it is the middle of the day. We're like, it's not like we're going to be, you know, drinking and don't want to drive back the hour and a half to my parents or whatever. So we took the subway and we got time to transfer. I was like, I can't get, I don't want to walk anymore. So we ended up just going back. But anyway, that was a fun day. So to get to my Charleston story, sorry guys. We came back, we worked for like a day and a half, and then went to Charleston. And I had been there in April for a bachelorette party. And so I had some kind of vague idea of like touristy things to do. And then my friend Sarah, our old college roommate, who lives down here, Sarah goes there like at least once a year. So, you know, but when she found out that I was going, she's like, okay, now here's all the things that we didn't get to do when we were there. And you need to go here and eat here and do this. And I was like, you're like my own little personal, like, Siri tour guide. I just kept texting her. I was like, okay, where's the address for this thing? And she was just like, okay, so it's here and here. Look for a sign by this. And it was really funny. But yeah, so we went to Charleston. We got there the 30th. We left the 1st. I just hit the mic with my knee. What did we do? So the first day we got there, we had 5 sushi rolls between the two of us and a whole bunch of other crap. So we definitely ate a lot. And sake, we had a lot of sake, which I think is why we had the extra 2 rolls at the end. But no, that was really good. Then we did the carriage tour on New Year's Eve. And the carriage, our tour guide was awesome. I mean, we had to wait because there's only a certain amount of carriages allowed on the streets at a time. So you have to like wait till some of them come back so you can go on it. And we had like a backup and we had to wait a good 15 minutes. And there were these people that were just throwing questions at him. He answered every question. He was even talking, like giving us tour guide stuff about Savannah, like their history. Like this guy did not play. He was awesome. So we did that. We walked along the water. We did like this whole tour. We ate way too much at dinner. And then we were on our way back. So our waitress for brunch had told us about this bar that we should go to because it just had a cover. Because everything down there was like, it was tickets and it was sold out, you know, by the time we got there. So she was like, this bar just has a cover and you can go there and you can get champagne at midnight and like the glasses and the whatever. And, you know, it's a bar and a club and you can do whatever. So we're like, okay, well, that sounds kind of fun. We finished dinner at like 11 and then it was like a 20-minute walk or 15-minute walk to the bar. So we started to walk and then at one point we were like, again, we're like, we've been walking all day. I'm tired. Let's find some place closer. We took one look at the places closer. And I mean, they were like, the club is jumping. And we were like, nope, too loud, too old, not going to happen. So then we saw a Carolina Ale House. And I was like, well, mate. It was like a top floor, like the third floor of a building kind of thing with like an outside patio. And I was like, well, it's a Carolina Ale House, but you know, they still have big TVs and a nice view of this town square. We got up there and we were like, nope, we are not old enough to be here. So so Goldilocks decided that at like 11:45, we were just going to go back to our hotel room, watch Mariah Carey fuck up supremely. It really ended up great because I was able to follow Twitter in like real time and I was just a great New Year's. So we drank our champagne out of coffee mugs and
nice.
You know, got to have a fun New Year's Eve and it was super awesome. And then the next day we just walked around again and I stole a coffee mug from the place we had brunch at and now I have my souvenir. Yay. But I don't know, it was a really fun trip and I definitely recommend Charleston if you are interested in a city that has a lot of history. So beautiful architecture, you know, a lot of shopping. They have this street called King Street and it's all high-end shopping. You've got your little like boutique stores and then you've got like, you know, your Louis Vuitton, Kate Spade. There's an Apple store there. Not that Apple store is like high-end, you know what I mean? So there's just a ton of shopping there. You can walk along the water. I don't know. It's just really cool. It was really fun. We did a lot of different historical tours and it was just an overall great, great trip. So, oh, and on the way there and back, we listened to this podcast called In the Dark. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
So In the Dark is the story. It's very serial. I mean, it's pretty much, it sounds like NPR produced it or not NPR. Who was it, Amanda, that did Serial?
Sarah Koenig,
but This American Life, like it sounded very much like, you know, the way Serial is presented with the voiceovers and the clips and the way they introduce people talking. But it's about the boy that disappeared in 1989, Jacob Wetterling. And he's the reason why now we have Megan's Law. Like he was abducted by a sex offender in his area. And it went unsolved until this past September when the guy that kidnapped him and killed him and molested him confessed to killing him in order to get a lower sentence on a different sex crime that he had committed. So it's fascinating. I mean, if you want to be, it's like Making a Murderer infuriating at times, just the way like how inept the investigation was conducted, the people who had false accusations against them whose lives were ruined. It's fascinating. So if you're looking for a true crime podcast in the style of Serial and Making a Murderer, it's kind of like the two of them got together and had a baby. I definitely recommend In the Dark. Please check that out. Okay, I'm done talking. I'm going to keep my mouth closed for 5 minutes. Bye. Okay. And I'm not even drinking tonight. I've got
First of all, Shandy, are you okay?
Yeah, Shandy got herself to go die.
I figured out how to mute myself. This is a big
one.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know, swallowed something wrong.
That's what she said.
And down the wrong path. Right. So just had to cough it out. But I'm good. Thanks. I also then washed it down with a swig of my beer out of my broadcast mug that Colin Lynn got me for Secret Santa.
Oh, show them the other cool. side too. Show the other side.
Oh, yes.
Wait, drink it down so I can see it better.
So on one side it has the broadcast, and on the other side it has the tribe, and it says nice. Shandy Pants' podcasting beer. Because
oh, that's so great. Yeah. That's really great. I like it.
I like it very much. So much. But yeah, that was for the tribe Secret Santa, I think. Yes, and for the Jan Jack Secret Santa, I also got some really amazing stuff. But anyway.
Cool.
Yes. Yeah, so Amanda, what did you do on New Year's? I don't know anything of
your because there really wasn't that many. I've gotten very bad about posting pictures. Like, my friend posted one, and I'm like, oh, people will see this.
But sometimes they're unnecessary. But
yeah. But it's always after the fact that it's like, oh man, I should have taken more pictures. but yeah, it was pretty chill. I didn't get back to the city until the day before New Year's, so I missed Colleen and Jay, which was kind of a super bummer because
I know
I would have liked to have hung out with them and met Mike Bloom and
eaten at the Google. So,
I did walk by Google on the way to New Year's because I went out in Chelsea for New Year's Eve. So I walked by it and I was like, oh, that's where the Google office is? Huh. But yeah, so we went out in Chelsea, in a bar in Chelsea, because our friend Julia's husband is like close with the bartender. And so they're like, that's where we're going to be. And no one else had any other plans. So it seemed like a good compromise for where we all live. Yeah, Daniel had to work the next day, and he worked New Year's Eve as well. So we didn't stay out the whole night because he was like, So we left around like 10:30, got home by like 11:45. So we were able to watch the ball drop and missed the Mariah Carey thing, which although like, I don't think it like, yeah, it was bad, but like she wasn't truly lip syncing. That was a backing track, at least the clip I saw.
Yeah, I think it's the way that she handled it. Like, she was visibly pissed, yeah. And she... I
mean, she's Mariah. She's, like, the HBIC diva. Ever respond any other way? Like, probably not.
Yeah.
Like, that's just... That's who she is. So, like, people are all making such a big stink about it. I'm like, well... I mean, that's her.
I mean, I was awkward, uncomfortable for her, and then I went on Twitter, and I was like... This is the best end of this horrible year because Twitter was just all the jokes.
Yeah, we were home. We watched that. Popped some champagne here. And yeah. And then I didn't leave my apartment at all the next day, which I can't think of the last time I've ever done that. It was pretty amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm yeah.
Jealous.
Yeah. Trust me, it never happened. It was like 2 days in a row that I didn't leave the building until I was like, I should run to the store and buy something because I haven't left the house in 2 days and I am nervous because that's not really like me and I'm just going to go outside. Okay, bye.
Sometimes you back. Need that, though. Sometimes you need that yeah. like, recharge.
We need beer and chickpeas. I'm going to go run down the street. I should go outside today.
Beer and chickpeas.
That's not even a joke. We did need beer and chickpeas.
Fair enough.
But we needed the chickpeas and we didn't have any beer. So I was like, well, I'll get that too.
Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Cool. Did some apartment stuff. I don't know if you guys can see over my head. We're hanging pictures over the bed.
Cool.
So there's a reason why there's squares of newspaper taped to my wall. I've discovered this is the best way to make a gallery wall in your house. So you cut out, newspaper the size of the different frames and then you tape them onto your wall so you can figure out how everything looks and then you put the nail in and you take the paper down and then you hang the photo and perfect.
You are a goddamn genius.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's why I have newspaper on
life
my wall.
Hacks.
I ordered
101.
Those frames and they came broken, so I have to return them.
Oh
yeah, Michaels, they sent me a box of frames, two of the bottom two shattered, absolutely shattered.
Oh,
so I have to read.
No, life hacks with Amanda Giordano. That's awesome.
Yep, that's how you do it, folks. Anyway, Shandy, please have something more interesting to say.
I'm so sorry. My New Year's was pretty late, pretty lame, pretty tame. I was going to say because that was
and late. It was pretty late. We celebrated at 1:30. It's like whatever we do, we.
No, I'm not super into New Year's. I guess I like. Especially in the U.S., I'm kind of like, nah, whatevs. So, like, I had a friend in from out of town, so that was fun. Like, it was fun to hang hang out with him. It was good to see him. And then my husband was working, and so a couple of friends came over, and it was just like the four of us hanging out. And then Frank came home like sometime before midnight, and we were just like talking and drinking. And I didn't even drink champagne at midnight, which is weird, but I was like drinking red wine, didn't really want to switch. I was just kind of ready to call it a day. So that was my New Year's. My before New Year's was a little bit more exciting. I did go to France. So that was fun. But that feels like forever ago now.
Oh, my God. That's right.
So, yeah.
That was only a month ago.
Not even. It was not even a month ago. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, and you were at posting the picture. Speaking of the opposite of being bad at it, you were very good. I feel like I was right there with you. I got to see all the good stuff. Awesome. It wasn't like stupid pictures. It was all like really good. Like, look at us enjoying our vacation, but like not in an obnoxious way. Just like we're having a good time. And like,
awesome.
These are all beautiful views that like you would want to see. So it was very well done.
Yes.
Taste.
Well, thank you.
Vacation photo sharing. I approve.
Thank you very much. I was actually sick for like almost the whole vacation too, but that was not on film. So
yeah. Well, that was a good choice.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, it was really fun though. Like it was such like a, I mean, I've been to like, so I graduated from the American University of Paris 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago now, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been back. Yes. We are the olds. I've been back, you know, like quite a few times since then, but this time it was like we stayed like not even necessarily on purpose, but we stayed in my school neighborhood, like at the old metro stop that I used to get off on every day,
that's awesome.
It's like, I can't figure out how to say that without sounding sexual, but yeah, it was my metro stop. and so like, that was fun. It was like very much like walk down memory lane. And we also, my husband and I went to the pub where we met, and it's like exactly 100% intact, the same. Everything,
oh, wow.
Like, every piece of decor. Like, we started talking because of this three-legged papier-mâché cow, and it's still there, and it still has three legs. So that was kind of fun.
That's awesome.
It was a good time. Yeah, it was good.
And you brought it looked like you brought back a lot of goodies based on your...
So many goodies, so much food, some chocolate, some foie gras, some pâté, some snails.
How do you travel with snails? How do they not...
In a can. They have to be canned. I mean, we got like at immigration, which the craziest thing was that we went through immigration on the way back. We went through in Dublin, which I've never experienced before, but we went through American customs in Dublin. And so then it was kind of cool because then when we got to San Francisco, we didn't have to go through customs, which was so nice because, you know, after like a 10-hour flight, the last thing you want to do is
get your bags and go home.
Yeah. So it was really cool. I still don't really understand how that works, but I guess there are some cities like that. But like, you know, so you have to go through like, cause like we declare it and whatever. And so you have to like go through then like a second line. But once you explain that it's just in a can, like it's all good.
Like it's just canned snails, you know, as you do.
Just like you do. No big deal. Like,
what? You've never had a canned snail before? Man, you haven't lived.
Yeah. And of course also the shells. We bought like two things of shells. Because you got to put the snails in their shells.
I guess that makes sense. I was just envisioning like.
Oh yeah, no,
the snail in. I don't know, like a pickled snail. I don't know what I was envisioning.
I wasn't envisioning anything. I was just going with it.
You buy the shells separately, and you put them back in the shell.
Because you gotta put them. You gotta make like this garlic. Sort of sauce,
are butter really garlic that, sauce. And are then, they really that delicious to be worth all this effort?
Well, I mean, for me, I personally have a hard time. I've had a hard time with snails since the World Cup finale of 2006.
I have never had a snail and never want to.
Yeah, no desire.
The garlic sauce is really good. I happened to, like, when I lived in France, I tried snails for the first time and I would eat them. And they're fine. It's like the texture is not really... If you're a texture eater, you're not going to like snails. But the butter garlic sauce is really, really good. But on the day of the soccer World Cup finale in 2006, we had snails that lunch. And then, like, in the afternoon, I was sick. And I don't know if it's connected or not. But when I finally got up and like was feeling a little bit better to like get showered and go to the game. Well, not go to the game. I didn't watch it in person, but like go to my friend's house to watch the game. As I was leaving my in-laws' house, I projectile vomited. Because I was still sick. Yeah, it turns out I was still sick. So since then, I haven't really been able to eat snails. But, you know, if you like them, you like them. If you don't, you don't need to force yourself. It's not like...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously for me, it's not like the number one thing. But, like, my husband loves the shit out of them. So go figure. It's, you know, they're fine.
That's, sorry, I thought there was a knock at my bedroom door. Anyway, also, I figured out something while we were talking. And we can cut this out or save this for bloopers. I don't know, whatever you want to do with it. That weird sound that I make sometimes, it's because I'm absentmindedly playing with my ring in front of the microphone.
Oh!
You make a weird sound sometimes?
I hear it sometimes when I'm talking. And I never knew what it was. And I realized I had this epiphany while Colleen was talking. And I was like, oh.
So I've often wondered, but I've never really wanted to be that asshole that's like, so which one of you guys keeps making that noise all the time? In case it was
me. It's me. Oh, okay. It's me. It has to be. It has to be me because I'm doing it like sort of, I absentmindedly do this like all the time. And I'm right close enough that it would pick up on the microphone.
Uh-huh. Huh.
So I'm taking it off. It's set down on the table. We're fine now.
Very good.
I recently realized that I also touch my hair all the time. And I think that gets picked up.
I think like so. Yeah, because it just got picked up just now.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I'm too fidgety.
This might be the first time in the history of my life that I was not the most noisy person somewhere.
Where are those Fritos?
Crunch, 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 crunch.
No Fritos. No Fritos.
Oh my God, I did have a bag of Fritos the other day. Oh, because I went to see the Nutcracker. I left that part out. I went to see the Nutcracker.
Yay!
At Lincoln Center. And I, because I was running late and we like had dinner. Daniel had dinner. I inhaled a little side salad because I don't know. I was like, I don't have time to eat anything else. Give me the salad.
Okay.
As I come flying in and just like eat the salad whole. Okay, like, all right, let's go. Let's go to the theater. But I had Fritos on the way home because I had a little side salad that I ate in like three whole bites.
Because Fritos are awesome. Yes.
Yeah. And then I felt immediately sick afterward. I was like, the Fritos were about to
Oh, no.
It's too much salt. I can't do it anymore.
Oh, good times. I was starting to tell you guys this before we started recording, but Zach, my son, and Zoe, my cat, are currently in a war. And I believe Zoe... Yes, Zoe is
locked. I like how you went looking to see if she's listening.
Can she hear me? No. Zoe is currently locked in the office with me right now.
Go ahead. What do you guys say about me?
She's currently locked in the studio here with me. So this started, so we were gone for like forever. So Zoe has been very clingy and he's around. She's like, not having it because he'll like, you know, hug her and like try to pick her up and stuff. She used to sleep on the foot of the bed. Now she's like back up to snuggling with me. Like she likes to sleep on my stomach or right up against me. Well, unfortunately, so does Zachary. So last night,
it's a turf war. It's a turf war.
Last night, Zoe has been sleeping in this one spot by me and Zach has been sleeping next to me. But last night, Zach somehow managed to sleep he was on top of Zoe that I had to move her. And then he was sleeping where she wanted to be sleeping. And then at one point, she went to the foot of the bed. He then flipped his entire body over at one point during the night and then was also sleeping at the foot of the bed. Zoe comes back up to go sleep against me. Zach comes back up, sleeps against me. I have to move Zoe again. This went on from like, I went to bed 11:30. Zach came into the room at like 11:40. This went on from like 11:40 to like 3 in the morning. I am so damn tired because they kept waking me up. And at one point, so Zach is like sleeping pretty much like on top of me where Zoe usually sleeps like my stomach and then or my back. Zach is there and Zoe walks on top of my head at like 2:30 in the morning and lets out the angriest, most meow.
She had had enough.
And is like nudging my head and like trying to like push my body like around. Like she had had enough. She was just like, this fucking little human won't let me like just keep stealing my mother, stealing my space. So then she like meows and She's like keeps trying to like nudge me, and then finally I was like, Zoe, I'm gonna kick you off this damn bed if you don't let me get some sleep finally. So then she meows again and jumps off and doesn't come back on the bed for the rest of the night. So cut to this morning, Zoe was sitting on the windowsill looking out the window, and Zach goes over to her and goes, Zoe, get down! Zoe, get down right now! And tries to, like, climb on the couch, like, pull her off the windowsill. So that's, like, strike two against them. And I was just like, leave the cat alone. Zoe is like, I ain't moving. She's grounded there. I tried to pick her up and, like, take her off. I, like, put her on my lap. She gets right off my lap, does, like, a circle around the living room, goes back on the windowsill, like, looking at Zach angrily the whole time. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. They're not even, like, two human siblings. And then tonight, Zach refused to go to sleep because he was, quote, scared of Zoe, because Zoe had peeked into his room just to see what was going on and then walked away.
Her little paws. Boy, now you see me.
Exactly.
You.
So I was like, okay. Well,
sleep tonight, little human.
Yeah,
now,
pretty much.
Now.
Pretty much. So I had to, I was like, fine, Zoe, we'll sleep in here with, we'll sit in the podcast studio with mommy, and she won't, she'll leave you alone, it'll be okay. So, and then since I've been in here, he's gone quiet, and I guess he fell asleep, because like I made like a big show of being like, look, Zoe, you're going in this room, and he kind of saw it, because yeah. So that's, so now I've got, you know, this sibling rivalry between my cat and my fucking human child.
I'm telling you, to get the scat mat, keep them both out.
Oh, God, I wish.
We used to have that problem with the cat not letting us sleep. We don't have that problem anymore. Although now he, like, he'll get really worked up and he'll, like, Jesus across it. And then all of a sudden, boom, 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 in the middle of the night, like, he's flung himself into the door, and, like, pushed the door open. And then comes barreling onto the bed, and he's like, okay.
So,
move over, guys. The captain has arrived.
I am the captain still. is the scat mat going to become this year's
squatty potty?
Squatty potty?
Gotta hope so. Although I won't send you a scat mat. I would.
Zoe, thanks you.
Yeah, your cat is half the size of mine. It might actually electrocute her. Captain's got a lot of heft. He can handle it.
Yeah, Zoe's only 9 pounds.
Yeah. I feel like I can't even keep it on the low setting because he can just walk over it. It, like, doesn't do anything.
Oh, poor Captain.
Yeah. So we put it on setting 2. Setting 3 is a little too intense. 2 seems to be the sweet spot.
Good times. I know at some point today we were going to maybe do a Carrie Fisher tribute, but I'm just going to say rest in peace.
Yep. Good segue. Go into it.
Oh, no, I totally cried. Like when she had her heart attack and then when she died, I cried. I was like, this is the first time a celebrity's death has like actually like really upset me. And I spent that whole night watching, like, I watched the Oprah video of her and her mom. I watched like, all these old interviews with her and stuff, and I don't know, but she was a pretty badass, like kick-ass,
she was awesome
feminist, like she was, or just all around like great woman, like just she had her problems and they were big, but she like owned up to them, and I thought that was great, like unlike some people who have meltdowns on live TV and blame other people, she didn't have any of that. So I just, you know, I don't know. I don't want this to take too long. That's what she said. But I don't know. I just.
Is it though? Is it what she said?
<That's true. laughs>
Touche.
Because it depends.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just. I'm getting all flustered now. It's just. I feel like, you know, when a good woman goes down, we should all. I don't know where I'm going with that.
And relatively young. 60 is young by today's standards.
It is. I mean, she did a lot of drugs and her heart, it was. And that's the one thing people pointed out. And I did realize this, but all the celebrity deaths this past year, not all of them, but a lot of them were people that like lived hard and lived fast. And I guess it just, and might have still had addictions, you know, and it just caught up with them. And I don't know, it's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well, it's like in all the articles about, you know, like female heart disease and how this sort of like kind of shined a bit of a light on that. And it's just like, yeah, it's kind of scary. My mom had, they caught it before she actually had a heart attack, but she 2 years ago had a really big scare. She had a big clot that they had to remove, and it was just this really like,
oh my God,
scary. Yeah, it was like, it was really serious, and I'm super making light of it because it's sort of not the point. But yeah, it's just like at that age, and we don't talk about women and heart disease the way we. It is a big.
Yeah.
It kills a lot of women every year. We probably should talk about it and should be a little more mindful to be eating for our heart.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys listened to Freakonomics, but there was a recent miniseries that they did about medicine. And like one of the things that they were talking about is for a very long time, women simply were not included in research and like tests and like drug tests and stuff.
Which is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is actually.
So take care of yourself, people.
Take care of yourself.
Eat the heart healthy fats. Do it.
My former boss, when his wife was like 40, 46, 47, 48, she got off an airplane and had a small heart attack, and they think it was like the drop in pressure. Wow. And I guess that's a thing, and that was scary. So that's kind of been on my radar when I first start working there. 8 years ago. So I don't know. It's kind of been on like in the back of my mind. It's just scary. But again, she had some other factors that probably contributed. Same as like George Michael and Prince.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Not to get too depressing. So I think that this is a good segue into Shandy's maybe news.
What is my news?
Aren't you maybe watching Star Wars?
Oh,
am I more excited about this than you are?
Probably.
That segue was not as good.
I'm sorry.
That segue was like a 5.56.
That's all right.
I just forgot it was like news. No, I actually posted in the patrons group yesterday because I feel like in the Jay and Jack universe, people talk about Star Wars all the time. And I've seen like maybe like random scenes here and there, but I've never actually watched the Star Wars movies. I think I watched one of the newer ones in French.
Nice.
When it like first came out, like dubbed in French, when I probably still didn't speak quite good enough French to watch a whole movie in French. Anyway, so basically I have not watched any of them. And then like some of my other friends like just went to Rogue One, and like my like, you know, in-person friends. And it was coming from all ends, Star Wars thing. Apparently it's a big deal. So I was like, well, shit, maybe I should actually watch it. It's just such a time commitment though, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a lot of movie.
So, I mean, because Amanda, you were saying that you watched it later in life, like as an adult.
Was it
recent or was it?
Last year or the year before? I think it was last. It was before The Force Awakens came out. So not 2016, but 2015. Does that sound right?
It came out December 2015.
Yeah.
And what order did you watch them in? Because that was my original question. And holy shit. I don't think I've ever had so many responses to a post. Like everyone has a different idea of the order you should watch them in. So I would be interested to hear yours.
Well, and I think that's the thing. It's like if you grew up with these films, they just take on this whole, you know, folklore and this whole world unto themselves. And so it's like, you do have a lot of strong opinions about that kind of stuff. I not so much. So I only watched the original three. I was told I did not have to watch the three from the 90s. So episodes 1 through 3.
Yeah. But if you, I'm a completist. So
also Ewan McGregor is in them.
Yeah, but they even made him look like a bad actor. Just made everybody look like a bad actor.
How do you know? You haven't seen it.
I've seen parts. But yeah, so I happen to, you know, be in a relationship with someone who grew up with Star Wars, and it's a big thing for his whole family. We went to go see Rogue One when we were in Atlanta celebrating Christmas, and Daniel and his brother were like texting about the characters for like days afterward. Like,
it was such a great movie.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. But, and I think to sort of segue a little bit into Rogue One, I thought it was interesting that like I could enjoy the movie as someone who has a lot of holes in their like Star Wars knowledge. I've only seen the first three movies once each. So like there's a lot of stuff that went over my head, but I'm still able to enjoy the story. But then it's like someone like my boyfriend who has seen the movie like countless times was able to get this whole extra layer of story that just enhanced. It was like world building for him. And for me, it was just like, oh, this is an entertaining movie. This is an entertaining story.
No, did it,
and like that I thought was interesting.
Did it inspire you to want to watch A New Hope, since the end of that movie pretty much picks up right before New Hope begins?
I'd seen A New Hope. I've seen the original three.
To rewatch it. So
I guess.
Because like the whole, one of the big things of The New Hope is, well, how did they get these plans? Now, you know, 30 years later, we're back to 40 years later, however long it's been. I can't do math, as we've established before. It's like, oh, well, here's this pivotal, you know, plot piece that everybody was like, qua? And now it's, you know, you get this answer for it, and it's super badass, and it's awesome. And
nice French.
Yeah, that. So, I don't know.
So I would suggest starting with the original three, just because people that love the franchise, that's what they fell in love with, and that's why they fell in love with it. Mm-hmm. And the episodes 1 through 3 seem to be really like George Lucas unleashed. That it's like there was no one sort of reining him in. He was just like, I have so many ideas, and what if there was whereas the first three had people really like reining it in and helping him tell the story. It wasn't all him. And but I will also note that I was talking to someone the other day, or a while ago, and they were saying it actually watching them in like story order, like going 1 through 7, it actually adds this cool, really like dark undertone kind of thing to it.
Well, that's what Boston was saying too, right?
I don't know. I feel like,
he had a weird order. His was the machete order.
I've heard of that, but I can't think of what it is.
No, that's watching.
It's like 4, 5, 2, 3, something, something, all craziness.
So I think it just depends on like what you want to get out of watching it. Like, why do you want to see them?
I've never had so many responses to a query, and I even had multiple people like private messaging me like, no, do this, no, do this.
That's like, because that's the thing. It's like, I feel like people are really like, if you love this series, you love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and you have really strong opinions about it.
So the machete order is to watch it in this order: A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, Return of the Jedi, and then The Force Awakens.
Okay. And for those of you like me who don't know it,
that would be
4, 5, 2, 3, 6, 7, Rogue One.
Yes.
So no one's watching 1.
No, well, yes.
Or did you say
that Phantom Menace is the first one? So that's the one with Jake Lloyd and Jar Jar Binks. Like big lot of Jar Jar Binks and little Natalie Portman.
So it's Keira Knightley
and Natalie Portman's double. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of Natalie Portman, I and Jackie last night. It was really good.
Oh, I really want to see
it. I liked
that.
It a lot. Yeah, it was good. I can't stop talking like her, and I'm going to try not to do it on the podcast. Because there are all these scenes in the movie of Natalie Portman, like, in this broadcast.
Just
our name.
Yeah.
But you know, like, the sort of, like, very, like, affected, like, way of talking that people used to have, like, on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was...
Well, and Jackie O had a very specific...
cadence?
Yeah, cadence to her voice.
Yeah.
But it's definitely amped up. Like, it's funny to see, like, when she's on camera and when she's not, at least in the movie, the difference. But holy shit, when she's on camera, it's like, I can't stop, won't stop. It's really fun to imitate. But no, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I
want
to.
And just to close this out, the machete order sandwiches in those two, because apparently you get to Luke gets the big reveal, which we won't say what it is in case Shandy somehow doesn't know. Yeah. And then you have a two movie flashback where we see how the big reveal came to be the big reveal, and then you go back to the present for the finale. So essentially it's like Lost-izing, I guess.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So why do they call it the machete order, though?
I don't know.
Because it's cutting it out?
I guess so. I don't know. There are some big Star Wars geeks who are like really yelling at us right now. Anyway, we'll move for the sake of moving on.
Sorry.
Clarify this reveal. For us, please. Yeah.
When you say the big reveal, are you talking about the father thing?
Yes.
Okay, because I do know that. Okay.
Well, that's, I think it's probably the interesting thing about watching it as an adult is that Star Wars is such a part of and the world we live in that, like, you really have to like be a mole person to not know the like Luke, I am your father, and like, you know,
right,
to know
there's a little incest also going on.
Yeah, like just part of the cultural narrative, like, you know, parts of the film, so it's interesting to then see them in context watching the films.
Well, they're funny, like, enough, he actually never right,
so that's how, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, you go first.
No, I was done. I said my piece.
I think honestly what I know most about Star Wars, or like the most vivid image that I have in my head when I think of Star Wars, is the parody of Star Wars, which I can't remember what it's called, but when they're combing the desert
Space with Boss? A comb.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think I know that better.
Big fan.
And I was just going to say, Luke, I am your father. It actually was never said. That's one of the most misquoted quotes in movie history.
Oh.
Anyway. Right. Sorry. Buzzkill over here.
Well, I'll have to watch it to find out what is really said then.
That's your reasoning. Don't machete order that shit. Just watch in order of release. Fall in love with it the way the rest of us do. And I guess, though, that's kind of like the Harry Potter effect too, right? Where people that read Harry Potter all at once had a different experience than those of us who like read it in like in real time.
Right, but I don't think there would ever be a question of like what order to read Harry Potter in, you know? There was a question like,
no, I know,
if you,
I just
guys,
mean like I know, a Star Wars experience. Right. Sorry, I went, sure, my mind jumped if over. You didn't, I macheted back to this.
No, I get that. There was an interesting discussion on the Real Weird Sisters, which we've mentioned a couple of times, about people who like may have started reading Harry Potter when like the third book came out and they just finished it and then like went back to the first two. That's the only sort of macheting I can think of, but that seems very strange. I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah. Does it seem weird? Sorry, bet joke.
It seems real weird.
But for the sake of, I guess, time, if you have Star Wars opinions, just write us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com or call us 331-BROADS3. We have a bunch of
the floodgates are going to open.
And I'm okay with that. And speaking of feedback, we have to get to our feedback section now. So I guess we'll start with some facey feedback.
Yeah, so we had a little bit of Facebook feedback about
hey. That's our new feedback theme.
Yeah,
I'm bringing Facey back.
Hey.
All right. So about the champagne brunch. Eckhart Richter wrote in, so much good stuff in this episode, and I'm only 45 minutes in. By the way, Flash Forward was awesome and really underrated. My wife and I rewatched it last year, and a lot of it still holds up pretty well today. Of course, I also like the HBO reboot known as The Leftovers, but to this day, I still use Because I Was Loaded Okay and Cupcake as random catchphrases as an homage to J&J's excellent podcast on the show.
I think I talked about Because I Was Loaded there, right? Yeah. I put the video in the Facebook group. You can go find that. facebook.com/group/changeat groups.
I'm going to have to watch this show. Where was it, an HBO show?
No,
Flashboard?
It was on like Fox.
So could I find it on like Hulu or
I'm
Netflix,
sure
you, or one of them?
Yeah, you could probably just go to that website that tells you like, you know, where can I find it. I know there's a site that does that. But you could probably, cool. It was only one season. It started out really good. I felt it got kind of low key in the middle, and then of course, like, as soon as it was about to get canceled, it got really good, and then it stopped. Yeah, it's a good book too. I can send it to you if you want. I have it.
Cool.
Cool.
Very cool. All right. Well, and Nicole Troyer also wrote in, finally listening in the middle of the Gilmore Girls chat, Rory is the worst.
Amen.
I was reminded that I wanted to give a big thanks to Shandy for recommending Wild a while back. You are welcome. I finished it a few weeks before I watched the Gilmore Girls reboot and was so glad because I would have totally not gotten any of that section. Oh, and I really enjoyed the book as well. So thank you. Yeah. I fucking love the shit out of that. Nicole, if you really like Wild, you should read all of Cheryl Strayed's stuff, and you should also listen to Dear Sugar Radio. It is awesome. Then you get to hear Cheryl Strayed's lovely voice.
Nice.
And then we had just... Okay. Yeah. Everyone should listen. Seriously, I bet you guys would really like Dear Sugar Radio. It's so, so good. Okay, so anyway, about the caroling episode, Mandy wrote in, finally something in my feed other than hashtag JAJPASUTPOLTPSWSUTYTITFT.
Wow, that was impressive. Woo!
If you don't know what that stands for, it was a little present for the patrons over the off season there. Some interviews with one of the interviews was with our own Amanda. It was hilarious. So
yes. And we're hoping for a season.
Become a patron.
Become a patron. We're hoping for a season two someday. Fingers crossed. I have to say that's the new drunk test on the broadcast is instead of doing the alphabet backwards, you have to read that entire hashtag that Shandy just read.
Oh no, I will fail it every time. I don't even think I can do it sober.
As long as I can see it.
Yeah, maybe like, if you change
doing it from memory, I think would be really hard.
No,
but
no,
if
no.
I can just read it. That's
right,
fine.
Right. But as long as you change the font to something legible, like Times New Roman, that'd be fine.
Oh,
legible, like Arial.
Without, you are in the minority.
Lame. Anyway,
emails.
Emails. Let's do it. I can start if you want to.
Sure.
The first email is from Fallon. Hi, ladies. I just listened to the caroling episode, and I have to agree more with Shandy that this song isn't the best message for today. I agree. On the surface, this song is cute, catchy, and pleasing to hear. I also believe that in the 40s, when this song was written, it wasn't seen as flirtatious while staying within the social norms for female sexuality. As a modern listener, I don't envision the man as an overly aggressive sexual predator, but I do believe what he is doing is the opposite of what is being taught to prevent sexual assault and combat rape culture. No means no. He's not listening to her words or respecting her wishes. Even if this particular woman actually does want to stay, she's not saying yes. What if, as the night progresses, she changes her mind? Does this dude sound like he'll respectfully stop his advances? Haven't we heard the excuse before of, well, she seemed like she wanted to? So in a time where I think we need to be doing, gosh, okay, I can't read. So in a time where I think we need to be doing all that we can to battle this mindset, I do believe that these seemingly little things matter because you have to start somewhere. Do we need to change the lyrics to him offering her tea to see the similarities? Love what you ladies do, Fallon.
Yay, Fallon. I like you because you agree with me. But I do think, like, thinking back on that episode.
Well, but it's also not for nothing. To defend Colleen and I, she also agreed with us. Like, I think our point was that when the song was written, it probably was meant to be.
Right.
A little more lighthearted than it now seems in today's society. So we're not disagreeing that it is inappropriate for today's audiences. Like we're all in agreement about that. We're yes. all in agreement.
Right. Yeah.
It's I guess it's just it's kind the sort of like context you know, of how it was when it was first written.
Yes.
I think the blurred lines of
the '40s, if you will.
But Fallon kind of agreed with all of us, is what I'm saying.
Way less reason.
Kind of agreed with all of us.
But I would say it's like the actual context that I also take take issue with, because we can look back on that and, like, of course, in that day and age, like, they weren't setting out to try to write a rapey song. Of course not. But, like, I don't think that we should ever have.
Whereas in this day and age, they definitely are.
I don't think that we should have this sort of nostalgia for, like, a simpler time and, you know, like, a different culture and blah, blah, blah. Because, like, you have to remember, it's only been fairly recently that they've, like, legally realized that, like, you can rape your wife. You know, like, there was a time, like, back in the quote-unquote good old days when, you know, this song was being written, like, spousal rape, you know, if your husband raped you, you couldn't do anything about it. So, like, well, no, for me, that's kind of where I'm coming at from.
I mean, no one's defending it. Like, I don't think Colleen and I, and Colleen, stop me if you are not.
Do you want me to talk more into this? No.
Always. Always. Like, we weren't saying it to defend. It was more just to sort of define the historical context from which the song.
Right. And I'm saying the historical.
And again, we're not the writers of the song, but I'm just saying it, no one is looking back on that time with any sort of fondness. It's just sort of saying, like, this.
Okay.
Putting it in a place in history.
But what if we...
And I'm just saying that that place in history was itself.
What if we macheted the song to make it less rapey? Like, what if we had a flashback in which she really was like, I really mean yes. And then we got back to the present day and we saw. And now she's still saying no in the present day, so it's still rapey. But regardless...
Okay, so...
Perfect.
We machete in a conversation of them, like... talking about, like, okay, so I actually have this fantasy where I'm going to say no and you're going to, you know, like, keep egging me on, but this is all consensual and I'm laying out the parameters ahead of time. Switch back to the song. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Then we're fine. And the part, the lyric that we take out is, which is this, where's the, is it the, I ought to say no, 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 at least I'm going to say that I tried.
Yeah, that's not so great. Also the, what's in my drink?
Oh, that's right. That's the one. I'm trying to skim the lyrics real quick. It's been a month since I looked at them. Like, I know there was one that we particularly were like, eh, but maybe not this one. Anyway,
well,
yeah.
Well, this was...
To it be was fair, actually, it was probably not Roofy. She's probably like, what, is there whiskey in this? I thought we
well,
were
yes,
but that is, did you put cream in this coffee and tea?
No, but, like, potato, patata.
Does this
you
have
can't...
liqueur in it?
If somebody's not planning on drinking alcohol, you can't just slip them some fucking alcohol. Like, you know, it's the same sort of thing. You're drugging them. But what is so interesting about this song is that we talked about it on the podcast. And then, like, in the days following, a couple of people that I'm friends with on Facebook had also just, like, independently shared this link. And some of the conversations that ensued, I was just like, holy shit, why are these people so invested in there not being, like, in tandem this other, like, newer song? It was like these people were, like, defending the song.
Because it's the internet.
Right, right.
Like, people gotta do what people want to do. And it's like, if you don't like the song, don't listen to it. And if you like the song, you have at it.
So I wonder
if
macheting this song also makes the pneumonia and die part better.
Yeah, that was kind of not in rhythm.
Like, maybe it? We go back in the flashback. She's like, I'm really cold. I wish that I had put a jacket on tonight.
No. Okay, let's get on to the next
email. Yeah, let's move on to the next email. I killed it.
It's, which is from...
Mike, your turn, Amanda.
Mike. Yeah, okay, here it is.
This email was also on the Married Man show, actually. We just accidentally archived it without reading it for the last episode.
So, sorry, Mike. Better late than never. Hey, ladies. I posed this question/topic to the Married Man show featuring Timothy James. How does he say his last name?
All in rhymes with Stalin.
Like as in all in?
Mm-hmm.
Got it, as well. I'm having a fair idea where one of you stands on this, but I wonder who, but was interested in hearing varying viewpoints. I have a general relationship question. Let me start by saying that I am in no way a believer in fate or the idea of the right one. That seems like something people who have found a quality partner say without understanding that there are many people who haven't had that fortune or don't want a long-term partner. So I wanted to get your thoughts on the issue. Do you believe your current relationship was fate or meant to be? Do you believe that your partner is the only one, or is it all much more random? I know where I stand, and I just was interested in some other perspectives. Thanks, and have a happy holiday break, Michael. Sent from Tim's running tights. Nice.
You guys go first. I believe that part of this email is directed at me, so I will not respond right away.
Oh. Build the suspense. I like that.
Now I think I might know where you're going with that.
I think we've debated this before on this show.
Have we?
I think so, early on.
Guys, we've had 25 shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about a lot of things. We've covered a lot of ground.
True.
Ooh, and someone is breaking into someone's house.
Oh, that was Zoe coming back in the room.
That like creepy, like thriller style door opening. It's like,
yeah, actually, while you guys start, I'm just going to shut the door. Hey, Zobo, you came back.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, don't wait for me. I'm just going to take 10 seconds.
So like, I don't really want to listen to what you have to say anyway. It's like, whatever. Really cool. You people are the worst. Why don't I even do the show with you? I don't even know.
Oh man!
Just kidding. Smooches.
What'd you say?
Nothing. We love you.
You'll find out later.
Oh boy. Okay. I'll find out in post.
Exactly. Fix it in post. So I guess I've always said that I believe that love is a choice that you are choosing to make a go at it with one person. Whether or not you believe that that is the only person in the universe for you, I believe is up to your own interpretation. I personally think that that is just mathematically impossible, that there's only one person for everyone. And I do find that there's almost something more romantic about being like, yeah, there's probably tons of other people that I might be better suited for in this world, but I am choosing to go this world with you because I want to. So that's my two cents.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I mean, I basically agree with you. I think that just like you said, mathematically speaking, there are how many billions of people on this planet? I think it's just like, for me, even if you break it down to just like only the people that you share a language with, that's still just it's a lot of people. And if you think about like, you know, back in the day, people used to marry like their neighbors because we didn't travel as much and whatnot. And now you might find somebody like I found my partner in a totally different country, like hundreds of miles away. I wouldn't have, you know, it was a chance encounter. There could have been so many other people, and there have been like other people that I've gotten along with, you know, that like if things had been different, who knows? So I definitely don't think that there's one. I also just don't believe in fate. Like, I don't believe in a higher power. I don't think anyone's pulling the strings. I think, just like you said, Amanda, it's a choice that you make. I think that everything that happens to us in life is a combination of, you know, random coincidences. Like, you went here and this other person went there that night too. And so maybe you met, but I think that's a coincidence. And then from there, it's definitely a choice of whether or not you want to pursue that or not. So I would say for me, definitely, I don't think anything's meant to be. And I think where people are involved, it's certainly, I think there are many, many, many people that could be good partners for you. And I mean, we see that all the time. And, you know, people might have like a very fulfilling relationship for like 5 years and then decide that they, you know, want to go a different route, and they might have another fulfilling relationship for 20 years and then decide they want to go a different route. Like, all of those people could be your like quote unquote soulmates in a way. So I definitely don't think there's just one, which is also, I think, liberating, because like, oh my God, like if there was only one person and you had to meet that one person, like what are the odds?
That's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Like, fuck, they might be in Japan. Like, what?
Yeah.
Good luck.
Like, find that one person or live your whole life alone. Like, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. Right. Just one, right. You know, person.
It also seems, like, kind of weird that, like, it would have to, like, there's only, if you think that there's only one person for you, then I'd say, like, okay, so that person has to be, like, has to have been born in a country that speaks your language, or you have to randomly learn their language. It's kind of important, right? That person has to be like sort of within your age range. like, what if soulmates were really a thing? Then, like, I mean, what's to say that, you know, your soulmate couldn't be like 50 years older than you? Not to say that I mean, you can marry someone.
Each other? Yeah. Right? What if you miss each other, or like you miss your opportunity?
Yeah. So I don't subscribe to that at all, but I would be very interested to see what Colleen has to say. Cause we've definitely, I don't know if we talked about this like in particular, but I do know that we've for sure talked about like fate and destiny and stuff. And I think we differ on this.
Oh, we definitely differ on this. Because I don't necessarily think that there has to be like one person for you. I think that, you know, I'm definitely closer to what Amanda thinks, but I definitely believe in fate and I definitely believe that although your choices bring you to an ultimate destiny, I think that the universe and all that stuff is fluid too. I don't think that there's a higher power controlling what you do. You still, you know, get put here to make your choices to get from A to B. But I do think that some certain things that happen to you are quote unquote, I guess, meant to be. I mean, look at you, Shani. You met somebody literally like halfway across the world, or, you know, halfway, you know what I mean? Like on the other side of the world in like the most random of circumstances, and you know,
it's coincidence.
Have a great marriage, and like, but you guys, like, it has to be more than just coincidence. Like, you guys, you know, made the two decisions, and like, something brought you to that bar. This is just what I think. Like, at that same time, that same night, and you guys, you know, hit it off and pursued something, and you could have been just two ships that like said hello to each other at the opposite end of the bar, and you know, that's happened probably, I'm sure, before or whatever. But and like at me, I met somebody through podcasting and all things that I shouldn't even really know by all, if you know, there was no such thing as this, I would probably be in New York City somewhere still, maybe Amanda's roommate still, and you know, like I think that there's I always go back to, like, I'm with somebody that I'm not even really supposed to know, but yet somehow, you know, the universe or something, like, put us in this situations, and I don't think it's all coincidental, I don't. But I also don't think that there's, like, this is kind of piggybacking off of what Tim said on the Married Man show, like, I think you make the choice to be with somebody, absolutely. I think that, you know, you make that choice to work at something because you're going to change as you go through your relationship. Like, you're not going to be the same people that you were. But if you, like, both, you know, want to be with each other, you have to learn with the road bumps, and barring, you know, something like, you know, unforgivable, or, you know, like, they murder somebody, or you know what I mean? Like, barring, like, certain things, like, you know, your person ends up being like a child molester. Like, I'm not saying like every road bump, but like,
it's, you know, also a choice to leave a relationship.
Yes. Yeah. There are certain things that justify those choices, sure. And if both parties come to the mutual agreement, then absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, you're with somebody to get through the good times and the bad times, and like, kind of make that commitment. Now, that's not saying that you have just one person that's for you. I think that you have plenty of people that are in your life that satisfy a particular need that you might get. Like, Jay's not going to satisfy my drink wine and gossip with my girlfriend's need. Like, there's certain things like that you, that's why you have friends. That's why you have other people in your life that are there to kind of round out your life and, you know, make you like a well-balanced person. But I do think that as far as like long-term partners go, or the right one, maybe there's not someone for everybody, but I do think that when you do meet somebody that is right for you, I do think that that is fate that brought two people together, whether or not it ends up working out in the long run.
Well, I actually do think that there's somebody for everyone. Because, I mean, again, like, there's how many, like, 8 or 9 billion people on the planet. I really do think that there's someone for everyone.
Okay, yes, in the broad, you yes, they're absolutely.
Yes. You just have to find them. I mean, some relationships are more electric than others. Yeah, and not everyone finds, not everyone tries. I mean, that's exactly. Where I think you have to put yourself out there and you have to do the work. But
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely agree. I should have phrased it better. Well, I think
that's a really interesting point, that you can believe that there is someone for everyone, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everyone ends up with someone. I think that's a really interesting distinction that you made, Shandy, and I think that's a really important point.
No, and I
again,
it is two separate things.
Because for me, if it was just fate, then that would mean that no matter what you do, like the universe is going to take care of it for you and you're going to meet that person. Whereas for me, it's more like, I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in, I mean, the universe exists as obviously, but like, you know, in like the How I Met Your Mother type way, like I don't believe in it like that. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to actively put yourself out there. And maybe, I mean, again, it does kind of come back to semantics where I think maybe we're saying very similar things, but with different terms and mm-hmm. like different like ways of conceptualizing it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think that you get to say there's a plan for me. The universe is going to do its job. If I'm fated to meet somebody, I will. No, I think that you have to fucking get your ass out there and meet people and,
oh, absolutely.
And do the work.
That's what I'm saying. I think the choices that you make bring you like, I don't know if I'm explaining it right, but no, I totally agree with that. I just, maybe where we're differentiating is maybe like the belief in higher power versus not, where we're just circling the drain on a very similar belief.
Well, and I think what you guys are sort of trying to get at is the varying level in which, or how much power you give that fate. Call, what you're kind of saying to me is that fate just sort of puts you and this person in the same space, and it's what you do to make the relationship or not. That like fate kind of puts you together, and if you choose to act on it, great, but you could also just as easily not do anything and then that person goes away.
Right.
Is that kind of what you're saying? That it's just sort of fate puts you in the same space, but then it's the choices that you make that ultimately make or break what happens next.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Thank you, TLDR, Amanda.
Yeah, so it's not like oh, well, fate's just going to do everything. It's just sort of fate is the thing that opens the door. It's whether or not you choose to walk through it.
You absolutely cannot sort of like, sit around. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then in that regard, I kind of get where you're going with that. I don't know if I agree, but I can see your logic, and I think I might agree. I'm not sure.
Okay. And Shandy is saying,
"We're testing your summarizing skills here."
Oh, that was to me. I thought it was throwing it back to Shandy if she had any final thoughts.
No, just like, yeah, I think you have to get out there. That's my final thought.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of similar to what I'm saying too. Is you have to like make your own destiny as well. Make your own moves. Like the universe or the higher fate will only get you so far.
Yeah, you have to work for it, and you have to work at it. And I agree with what you were saying, Colleen, that you have, like, you make a choice to be with someone and to stay with someone. But I also think that it's okay that if, like, people do change, and I think that if you change so much that it doesn't make sense anymore to be together, then I think that that is okay also to walk away as friends. Because, and maybe this is the Slytherin in me that is a little bit more self-absorbed, but I think people are first and foremost individuals, and like, I want to always honor and respect that. And so, you know, if like, you can't always change together, and I think that it's beautiful if you do, but sometimes you don't. That's life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you're probably not going to change together. That's why you have to make the decision. I think if you like if that person is worth it to you to work through those changes.
Right. And sometimes, but though, I think that there's a little bit of like societal judgment though that comes with that, because it's like, oh, are you willing to put in the work to like stay with this person to, you know, but like maybe you change in such a profound way, which is like not your fault. It's just like human growth.
Oh, absolutely. That's what two people mutually decide.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And you mutually decide. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay.
I am obviously not very much of a romantic, apparently.
You said there's someone for everyone. That is fairly romantic.
Oh, there's totally someone. There is totally someone for everyone, but I'm not saying that it has to be a.
You don't mean it in the pop your foot romantic movie chick flick kind of way.
No.
There's I never mean anything in the chick flick kind of way.
In a mathematical probability sense.
Yes.
And also my butt is falling asleep. So I think that means we need to start speaking a little quicker.
All right. We will. So we have a couple more emails. I don't think we're going to get to all of them today. Sorry, guys, but we will pick up where we left off. We are going to try to get through a couple more real quick. We had an awesome stream of emails from Joanne, which they came in throughout the break, and it was awesome because every time a new email pop up, I'd be like, yay, somebody loves us. They really love us and they're listening and giving feedback. So that was awesome. We're going to broadcast player this. We're each going to take part of the emails. I recommend Amanda to start.
Okay. So email number one, subject, running commando. And it starts. Shandy, Amanda, and Colleen. First, sorry that this is over a month late, but I am about a month behind. I will be catching up this weekend as I am driving from DC to Hilton Head for vacation. Second, love the podcast and your willingness to discuss all sorts of topics from fun to serious to sad, etc. I have posted on Facebook and have had a few emails to other J&J podcasts, but I think this is my first to the broads. I have an interesting, or maybe disturbing, running commando to the fullest commando extent incident.
Oh boy.
And would be interested in your reaction as to what would you do. I was driving home from work, came off the highway onto a fairly busy road, and on the adjoining sidewalk, I see an elderly man jogging, wait for it, fully naked.
Oh boy.
It was one of those, did I really see that moments that was confirmed by a glance in the rearview mirror. Once confirmed, several thoughts went through my mind. After OMG, should I stop? Should I think, what the heck? If he's okay jogging naked, who am I to judge? Or should I be concerned that he may have some mental issue and may not even realize what he's doing? Should I call 911? And what the heck are all the other people driving by thinking? Fortunately, I did not have to make any decisions as a police car was heading towards him, and I assume and hope they took care of the situation. Thoughts?
I want to hear what Will has to say. Was it Will?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, she mentions that he's elderly, so my first thought is, oh, this poor man probably has Alzheimer's or something. So,
yeah,
I think I'm glad the cops came because I don't think any older person would, voluntarily be jogging naked.
Yeah.
Really bad bet.
Yeah. Or, how cold is it outside? What time of year was this?
Seriously.
Well, if it was recently, then it would be December, right?
Yeah. Then it'd be like, pull over and throw that man a blanket. Get hypothermia.
I probably would have called the non-emergency line for the police. Just not to be a prude because he's running naked. Just on the off chance.
Right. There's something amiss.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
The second part is on the political side, so I nominate Shandy.
So this one is called Fictional Female Characters, and Joanne writes, I just finished reading one of the top-rated books of 2016, The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. It has a very strong non-traditional female lead character. As the title suggests, it is a historic drama about the Underground Railroad and Cora, who escaped slavery. A very simple and yet complicated story of strength in an unfortunate real-life struggle. Highly recommend it. The more political part is what came to my mind as reading the book. I cannot even begin to think of how I would react as a fleeing slave, but it did make me consider what role I would have played or not played as a privileged white female. And then I can relate it to today. Would I take the chance of losing my job, my house, my family to harbor an undocumented Hispanic mother and child? If it were to be needed, would I assist an unregistered Muslim? It is easy to answer yes, but read this book and think about the people who did these things with the likely possibility that they would not just lose their jobs, but likely their lives. So what would you do? Add to that an upcoming event, the Million Women's March on January 21st. Side note, which Amanda is attending.
Yeah.
I am bothered by one person I asked about it who I believe would identify as a liberal and a feminist and concerned with the recent elections, but she will not attend for fear that it might cause her husband to lose his job. Really, in this day and age, we have to worry about losing our jobs because of participating in a legal event. Unfortunately, the reality is that she might be right to be concerned. We like to think we are far removed from the 1800s, and yet this year has taught us we may not be so far removed.
Wow.
Yep. Yeah. I think we all would like to think that we would rise to the occasion, but I guess we shall see in the coming years. Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but
yeah, for real.
I'm not holding my breath.
So you're reading this book, Shandy?
This is actually not the book. This is on my list, but Joanne wrote in about another book, and that's the one that I'm reading.
Ah.
Yes.
In another email coming up.
In another email coming up, yes.
What's behind email number three?
Does anybody have any thoughts about the one woman or person, or yeah, woman who wouldn't attend because her husband might lose his job?
I don't think her husband will lose his job, especially if she attends. I
just don't.
But I get it. Like, honestly, like, as dumb as it sounds, like, I sometimes think about what I tweet. Like, yeah. Because it's a traceable, like, you know, it's like.
Totally.
Like, there are times that I have wanted to, like, retweet Trump with like my own commentary that I've kind of like held back, which is totally dumb.
Right.
And I should absolutely have the freedom of speech to do that. But yeah, I don't know. But I think she should go. I think that her husband will be fine.
All right. Door number three.
Wait. I have an opinion.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I think there are lots of ways to resist. And I think if you don't feel comfortable or feel as though the risk is not worth the reward, then find another way to resist. You know, donating to Planned Parenthood is just as important. Writing to your local congressman to tell them that you are unhappy with some legislation that is being pushed through is probably more important than showing up to a march. So, you know, we all kind of do what we can and what we feel comfortable with. And it all moves the needle forward in some way. And so long as you are doing something to move that needle, it's all good.
All right. Door number three. Well said. Door number three. Forest Service / Park Service and female writers and characters. Just got to listen to the Champagne Brunch Contest. Sorry I was not able to be there live. Anyway, Shandy's comment about having been with the Forest Service and pointing out that is not the same as a park ranger made me think of one of my favorite mystery writers, who happens to be female, Nevada Barr. She was a park ranger and has taken that experience to create a strong female character who happens to work for the Park Service, Anna Pigeon. Not only is it a great mystery series, she also places each book in a different national park. If you have not read any of the novels, you may want to start with book one, Track of the Cat. Good books. Shandy, is that the one that you read?
Yes, and I love how she ends this email with, sorry, I do not know of any books about Forest Service employees. This really made me crack up. Yeah, so I checked this out from the library and I'm like halfway through. I did take Joanne's advice and go back to book one, Track of the Cat. Joanne maybe knows me, she read me well, because this book, I've been enjoying it so far, obviously. It's funny, like there's like government employee talk, like, oh, are you a GS-11? Blah, 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 you know, stuff like that, which is,
totally,
you know,
makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. If you've ever been a government employee, it will make sense. So that kind of tickles me. There's also like just the right amount of like lesbian activity, which is awesome. And yeah, and also a mystery and outdoorsiness and stuff. So it's been a fun read so far. I've been enjoying it. I would recommend it. I will, maybe next time we record, I will have finished it. And I can tell you. You know, what I think of it as a whole.
Sounds good. All right. I'd be down to check it out. I like it. Yeah. Sounds good.
And then the final emails. So she's finally caught up with all the podcasts. Happy New Year. Some quick notes. First, Colleen, so sorry about your difficult November. It must have been a horrible physical, mental, and emotional time. I wish you a much happier 2017. Shandy, as a baby boomer closing in on retirement, I would say to not give up on making friends with some of the oldsters around you. Of my three closest friends, one is a millennial, two if you count his wife, one is a Gen Xer, and one is a baby boomer. And if I was one of those retiree neighbors, I would be happy to have you as a friend. Amanda, nice. Great to hear you are coming down to D.C. for the march. I plan on going. For the listeners out there, anyone else planning on being there, January 21st, Women's March on Washington. And my goal for 2017, not falling a month behind and listening to the broadcast, so my feedback will be time relevant. Well, we're going to try to shoot for shorter episodes in 2017, so yeah. You won't have to fall a month behind. I'm not going to the march because Zachary has his very first birthday party that he's ever been invited to that day.
That's a good reason.
For his,
that's
one of his nice. School friends. So, yeah, we're going to do that.
Yeah, but I second Joanne. Reply in the comments if you're planning to go. I'm sure it will be near impossible to meet up with people you don't arrive with, but it would just be cool to know who of us are out there. I'm excited, and maybe I'm really excited to talk to people.
Start a Facebook group or a group chat or something.
That's true.
Yeah, definitely.
I might do that. I probably won't because I'm pretty lazy when it comes to the social media things.
That's true. You
but
are.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm not going to
start with a thread and see how we go from there.
All right. Which I can start with you if you'd like. Or Joanne, you start it.
Yeah, there you go. No, I'm not going to make it to DC, unfortunately. It's just a little too expensive, but I'm planning on going to San Francisco. So if there are any West Coasters that are going to be in San Francisco, you guys can hit me up.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, that should be, man, you guys, it's good start to the year, guys. so many exciting things. Thank you, Joanne, for the kind words. 3 days in and 2017 is already better than 2016.
Excellent.
And then we have a voicemail from Will, but I don't think we're going to play it this week. But I will tell you, spoiler alert, Will, I was in a bar with Chris Kolk and Rob and Jay, and I totally played your call for them at the bar. And they were like, they loved it. And then we also picked up this dude named Michael who was gay and was trying to pick up Jay. And then Kolky got really upset because he was like, hello, I'm right here. And Jay was like, no. Don't be jelly. It was really funny.
Don't be jelly.
It was good times. But no, and that was all, that whole thing, that whole exchange that stemmed from this guy coming over and being like, you know, what is this that you're talking about? So anyway, we have a couple more emails. We have one from John JP. We'll just put a little pin in it right here and save it for next week for the sake of, I guess, some time or something, but for the sake of having emails to read next week in case nobody wants to email us or something, but no.
And for the sake of our New Year's resolution, which is a little bit more brevity,
yes, which has never well happened put. With me anything I'm involved in, so I guess speaking of brevity, it's time to thank the patrons. Especially
that was a good segue. That's a 10 out of 10.
Oh, yay, go me. I'm getting better. Special thank you to some of our patrons, and in particular that would be Eckhart, Tack, and Molly. Thank you guys so much. Thank you to all of our patrons, though. Let's get real here. If you would like to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/JaneJack or go to JaneJack.com and look for the little red button on the top right-hand corner of the page that says become a patron. You can contribute from anywhere from a dollar to a gazillion dollars, and you get fun stuff. And you can check all of that out at patreon.com/JaneJack. But the highlights are the $5 or more level gets you into a patrons only Facebook group and access to a patrons choice podcast each month. And the $15 level gets you into the Facebook group as well, and a hangout once a month with Jay Jack. And I think some of the podcasters are going to be popping up to hang out as schedules permit. So that's, you know, That's a benefit. You might get to hang out with Shandy and Amanda like once a month additionally, maybe, if you did that. I'm really selling it well here, guys. I'm rusty. But yeah, if you consider that, we'd really appreciate it. You can go back to the last 24 episodes before this and hear all the shit that the Patreon helps do, like therapy bills and all that, and squatty potties. But yeah, I guess on that note, ladies, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I've missed you guys.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, we. I feel like we chat all the time, but still, this is different. It's like getting to see your lovely faces is so much better.
Yay! If you have anything you want to talk about, you can give us a call. 331 Broads 3. That's 376. I'm sorry, 331-276-2373. Did that without looking, guys, and it's been a month. I hope that's the right number. Or you can email us thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. And guess what? I'm not even going to go look it up. thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. So, yeah, as always, we love to interact with everybody. If you have anything to say about the order that Sandy should watch Star Wars in, please do that up. Whatever else we talked about. I don't know. If your cat and your human child are having tensions, please let me know. How did you handle it?
I just love that. So we came in my room and she was looking at me.
Well, he was just like,
I could just see like her little paw like coming across her neck. Like,
he was like in the doorway and I was like, Zach, go back to sleep. And he was in bed. He's crying. And I was like, are you scared or something? And he's like, yes. And I was like, what are you scared of? You know, I'm tucking him back in. I'm like, what are you scared of? Like, it's okay. The door is open. Mommy and daddy are right here. And he goes, Zach, you scared Zoe, because you know we're still third person. I'm like, you know, it hit me. She does every night. Like, she goes into each room and she like checks out what's going on before she goes to bed, and she wants to scare the shit out of him or something.
watch it child.
Anyway, on that note, guys, it's been real. I don't know, you know how to close this show out. See ya. Bye.
We're going to be talking next week. Yay.
Yep. Yeah. We're back and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Weekly schedule. Yay.
Yep.
Yeah. What? All right, guys. On that note, my name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out.
Bye. Goodbye.
I always have to stop and be like, don't say the tribe is spoken.
Well,
and the tribe
maybe
is
it has.
Maybe it hashtag has. I do too many podcasts.